T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Paul, back with you. Yeah, the Wild lost. It was a nail-biter. But the Twins won big time over the Pirates. They are now 9-2, and we encourage you to tune in on CCO at 5:30 as the Twins take on the Pirates from Pittsburgh. In the meantime, Dr. Michael Osterholm joins us with an update. Potentially good news, a glimmer of good news, another vaccine candidate shows some promise. Novavax apparently entering the fray here with the latest clinical studies. Dr. Osterholm, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us more about these vaccine candidates? I think all of us want to get our hopes up, but set our expectations.
Well, really, these studies that you're hearing about right now are really in the very earliest stages of evaluation. And what I mean by that is that they go through different phases. One phase one is just basic safety, you know, largely usually done with animals, some cases a few humans, just to make sure there's not some kind of an acute reaction. And then phase two is where you start to look into more safety and dosing. So now you may give a higher, medium, and lower dose because you want to give as much as you can to stimulate the immune system. And again, any vaccine that does not perform well here is done. It's over with. And what we're really hearing about now are phase one and phase two data, which, frankly, they should be good. The bottom line is if they're not, then they shouldn't be even in consideration. And there are 23 such vaccines in clinical trials right now. Where the rubber really kind of hits the road is when we get into these phase three trials, which are where now it's usually enrolling 30 to 50,000 people, half get the vaccine, half get a placebo or an inert substance, and no one knows which is which. And then we look for what we call definitive safety. Now we're at a point where we have so many people in here, there shouldn't be any acute reactions that we miss. And then, of course, we want to find out, does it work? And that's why half the people get the vaccine and half do not get it. And then over time, people are exposed to the virus. So what you heard about yesterday is just passing out of phase one and two studies into phase three. And that's what is taking place now in a number of areas around the world, are these phase three studies. And they're the ones that are actually going to give us the information, does this vaccine work or not? It's not enough to make antibody. Does it actually protect you?
I know a lot of parents still wrestling with decisions back to school. And I realize that younger people less vulnerable to the coronavirus, however, they are not immune. A couple of teenagers in Florida in the last week have passed away because of coronavirus. How concerned should we be about, okay, we send our kids back to school, and even though they may not get sick, they could bring the bug back home and infect parents or grandparents or whatever? I mean, is this something you worry about, or are those concerns overblown?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that the goalposts are worried or not concerned at all. I think that many parents right now are justifiably in a position of saying, is this the right thing to do for me and my family, for my kids? And, you know, I want to confirm for all of them that's a very normal, natural thing to feel, and you should feel that. At the same time, we also have this issue of, you know, I want the ultimate safety for my child. What can that be? But, you know, every day your child is not completely safe. What I mean is if you have a teenager get in a car and drive through an intersection, that could be their demise. And so one of the challenges we have is trying to put this into some perspective in life. you know, I have worked up so many outbreaks, disease outbreaks in high school students where we didn't want them to congregate because the virus was being spread, or the bacteria was being spread, was from close contact. And when they weren't in school, they were actually in closer contact than they were when they were in school because they were socialized and they were together. I went out to get gas. I think my second tank fill since March. And I drove by an area where I counted at least 30 teenagers all playing basketball at certain basketball courts, and they were all close together. Now, that's not in school. But the point being is that, number one, is are they going to be at increased risk? Are we going to really worry about kids transmitting at a higher rate? And I think for high school students, it's a real possibility. I think this is a real challenge. I think for younger kids in the elementary school grades, we're not seeing that same kind of dynamic transmission. These kids, when they do get infected, do not appear to be as infectious, and they're not surely getting as sick, even though, as you pointed out, older teenagers have died. We've had many fewer people die from this virus in grade school kids than we would in a normal flu year. Each one is still a tragic loss. Mind you, all of us can't imagine losing one of our children. But the bottom line is that really means that that's a very unsafe place. And I just say to the parents, I don't think that that is. I think you can take the kids there. One last piece of information I think that is helpful. We've been running daycare in Minnesota all summer. We've not had a daycare-associated outbreak. We've not seen, you know, these tragedy stories happen in children in daycare. And we've been in operation the whole time. So I think we're trying to thread the rope through the needle here to find what are the safest and the most effective ways. Our kids need education. Our kids need the emotional and mental support that they get in education. They need to be able to, some kids get a meal that they otherwise wouldn't get. And so we understand all of that. And I think that ultimately we're going to find the older kids, we may be doing a lot more distance learning with them. Younger kids, I think we may be able to keep them in school longer, safer for both them and their teachers and the staff. But, you know, we're going to have to go day by day and just tell the people of the state what we know and don't know and be as frank and honest as we can be.
Last question, Doctor, and thank you for that perspective. That helps, I think, all of us who are parents frame this in terms of risk. Look, the frontline health workers use the N95 respirators. I purchased a couple of KN95 respirators, which are allegedly similar. They're manufactured in China, and now it turns out they've been flooding the U.S. market. Some of them work, some of them don't work. I'm also driving east to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday late next week, and I'm wondering, A, does my mask work? B, should I get a test before visiting my 90-year-old father? Because if I infected him unknowingly or otherwise, I couldn't live with myself. What would you do?
Well, first of all, again, thank you for that question. In the sense you're asking both the personal and kind of, you might say, the required question as an interviewer. But it all comes down to being personal. And I just have to go back to the school issue. You know, I have grandkids right now that are in grade school or in daycare. You know, every time I get asked the question about daycare or schools, you know, I can't help but everything filters through at least one part of my brain that's all about my own grandkids. So I get that. And I get the issue about your father. A couple of issues. The mask, the N95 that you're seeing, K95, are to some degree, I wouldn't say a crapshoot, but you don't know exactly if they're meeting specs. Now, the FDA has clamped down substantially on this. They should be meeting specs right now. I can't guarantee it. I would definitely wear one if that's what I had and use it continuously when you're around your father. The second thing, testing right now, if you got tested today and you took several days to get out there, you could be, you know, at your most infectious period while you're there and have tested negative today. That's one of the challenges with the test. You know, a one-time test does not tell you what the next day is going to bring you. And given the fact that we've had so many days of delay now, where because of a lack of testing capability, we're seeing 3, 4, 5, sometimes as long as 8 days before you'll get results back, which is, they're meaningless at that point. You know, you could have been exposed around the world in 8 days before you got your test result back. So I think the most important thing you can do is seeing your father, which I would encourage, is the distance. You know, stay apart. If you can do it outdoors as much as possible, that will dissipate a lot of the virus in the air. And most importantly, I just keep telling people, please, during this time, don't socially distance, physically distance. And if you can do that, I think you can go see them, and you're both going to be better for it.
Michael Osterholm, thank you so much for the perspective. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
You bet. You too, sir. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.